From one islander to another, Isle of Wight Radio proudly presents John Hannam Meets.
Delighted to welcome to John Hannam Meets, Charlie Stemp. Nice to see you, Charlie.
Lovely to see you too.
Over the years, I've been doing this for 45 years, right?
Wow.
I interviewed Brian Connolly when he was just coming up, yeah. Bobby Davro, Laura Michelle Kelly. They've all become household names.
Oh,
and
that.
You're very much on the way up, I know that.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you to say. I feel very lucky, I guess, in the short space of time that I've been doing this industry. I've been very fortunate to have kind of been given opportunities that not many are given. So, yeah, I'm very excited to see what the future holds, as it were.
We talk about your coming back in the West End later in the year, I know, in Mary Poppins. Mm. And I was with Laura Michelle Kelly only about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, how lovely.
You know, she came over for a one-woman show. She lives mm-hmm. in the States now.
Yes, she does.
Yeah. And you're currently, of course, in Rough Crossing.
Yes, which is where we are today.
Yes, today we're in the wonderful Bath. Mm-hmm. As this goes on a national podcast, I'm going to mention the further gigs on the tour,
perfect.
Really. So, born in Peckham.
Yes, I was. Born in South East London, so Peckham area, and then I've moved everywhere South East, really. So Barnhurst, Blackheath, Eltham, all the way out to Rochester at one point, which is not so much South East. But so I've kind of always been around that area, and then Elephant Castle. And
lovely stuff.
I love it. I'm a London boy. I really am. Born and bred.
Was Only Fools and Horses? Was that sort of Peckham?
That's Peckham, it was. I grew up watching it. I really did.
Yeah.
That and Dad's Army. My granddad's had a real influence on my comedy and what I watched on TV-wise. So we always used to watch Dad's Army and Only Fools and Horses growing up.
Wonderful. Favorites. I've come up from the Isle of Wight, and one of our own, Jeremy Irons, mm-hmm. who was born on the Isle of Wight, he used to be a social worker in Peckham before he became famous, and he also was a plumber.
Oh, how interesting.
Sort of, he went to drama school, and then he had a sort of up and down, like you can do, and that's what he was doing before he went into the West End.
Yeah. Oh, how interesting.
Yeah. And yours wasn't a showbiz family, was it?
No, not particularly. I mean, my mum did some gymnastics and my nan and my auntie loved to do Amdram stuff. But I had a lot of energy. I was always such an energetic child. And my mum kind of was like, right, you can go to football. I went to football, rugby, cricket at one point, hockey. And dancing was just one of the other ones on the list that kind of filled my need for exercise, I think.
You didn't like school that much?
No. This is wonderful. You know so much. I really enjoy this. Yeah, I didn't. I didn't enjoy school so much. I've never been particularly very academic. So when it came to physical sports, I really enjoyed those. I really enjoyed, you know, running and dancing in a way was just another way for me to use my body in just a completely different way. So I really enjoyed that. And I didn't like it at first. I didn't like the strictness of ballet and those kind of things. I really struggled with them. And then one thing led to another. And I think when people started to say that I was quite good at it, I think, as all kids do, I kind of enjoyed it more. And then one thing led to another, and then I went on to college.
I know you went to Lane Theatre.
Yes.
Which is a famous...
Yeah, which is a really good college. I went there for 3 years. I went from 16 to 19. And I had three of the best years there. I received the best training. And definitely wouldn't be here without them, for sure.
Any sort of other people there that have gone into the business that you sort of were there with?
Yes, a few people that are up and coming, which is wonderful. A few people are currently on Broadway.
Really?
And a couple of people in my year, which have done very well. My friend Sam Sauter's in Ballet and Matthew Bourne's company. My friend Shane's been in every show in Germany now. And I guess, a lot of my year have done quite well. But I guess that's very normal of a high standard theatre college, I think.
You went into Wicked, I know, as an ensemble member. Mm. That was what, 2013-14?
That was, 2013-2014. I was 19 and it was my first job and I had the best time. I learnt so much and I think I expected to have learned everything I needed to at college and then to go into my first job and just to know and be a professional. And really, I think I realized that being a professional in any industry doesn't just come from the learning, it comes from making mistakes whilst on the job. You know, a professional isn't someone that doesn't make mistakes. A professional is someone that doesn't make the same mistake twice. So I learned a lot on that job. because I made a lot of mistakes.
Charlie, when you were in that ensemble, did you have a dream? Did you have a dream or not really?
Honestly, I can say with all honesty that my dream was always to be happy and to do things that made me happy. So the idea of being a leading man didn't make me happy. The idea of doing shows where I was enjoying being that character were things that I really enjoyed. And if they happened to be the leading man, it was just something that came with the happiness of doing that role. So, for example, Bert and Mary Poppins or Arthur Kipps and Arthur Sixpence were roles that I wanted to do. I always kind of saw those roles and saw the potential for those roles in different ways than maybe even the characters that did them in the original films did them. So I always enjoyed those roles because I thought I could bring something different to them.
You did Eddie in Mamma Mia, didn't you?
I did, yes. Yeah. So I was Eddie in Mamma Mia for another year. So that was straight after Wicked.
And what a hit musical that.
It was. It was great fun. And we were touring as well. So it was an international tour. So and that was great for me because I'd spent a year in town doing Wicked and I loved it. But I got to the point where I was like, well, actually, I want to travel. I want to travel. A lot of my family travel quite a lot. And my brother's a travel agent and has travelled most of the world even by the time he was about 25 my age. So I said to my agent, well, if we can get me a job while I travel, that would be great. And he said, well, international tour of Mamma Mia is coming up. I think that'd be a great thing for you to try. And it was amazing. We went to some incredible venues and I would recommend touring to everyone who is younger and who doesn't have a family and who doesn't have to settle down. They're great ways to see the world and get paid.
Yes. In 1963, because I'm very old, 1963 I got married, and on honeymoon we saw Tommy Stew and Marty Webb in Half a Sixpence.
Oh, how wonderful!
So saw the original one. Actually, Marty Webb was in this week to see the show.
Oh, how wonderful.
She's great. And I've met Tommy Steele a couple of times since then, but and you, of course, played Arthur Kipps, didn't you?
I did, yes, I did. I played Arthur Kipps in Half a Sixpence, the role originated by the great Tommy Steele. And in a way, a lot of people say, and it makes me smile when people say that, because I understand why they say it. A lot of people say, you know, that's where my career started. And in some ways, they are correct, because it was my first major role. It was the first time I was sung on my own professionally. And I kind of went from having a couple of lines in Mamma Mia to suddenly doing 25 of 26 songs in Half a Sixpence. And it was a very heavy role. So Cameron McIntosh kind of took a risk. He took a risk on me, and I think I did okay. I think so.
You had 11 auditions, didn't you?
I did, that's correct. The audition process was a strange one, because I think that they weren't sure what they wanted to do with the show, because they had an idea, and then unfortunately someone had to pull out, and then I was kind of put into the mix at first as a cover. And then when they had done more auditions, the gentleman who was supposed to play the role originally had a pre-contractual issue, couldn't do the show. So I was brought into the mix as a cover, and then about six auditions in, they started to say, well, actually, there's this boy here. He's never really done a leading role before, but it could maybe work. So why don't we see if this could? And as I said, they took a chance on me, and we went to Chichester at first, and the show got great reviews. We did really well in Chichester, and we learned a lot about the show. And once again, I learned loads about being a leading man, because it's different than being an ensemble member in a way, because you don't have the luxury of time to go over things, because I was at one point learning the banjo, learning the songs, learning the script, learning the dances, all in the space of about 6 weeks. So it was quite a different experience for me that I really enjoyed. I really did.
Because Julian Fellowes had a hand in that, didn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he did. Yeah. He rewrote the book.
Because there were new songs.
Yes, yeah. There were, by George Stiles and Anthony Drew, with choreographer, the lovely Andrew Wright. So it was just a revamp of the old story, where we finished the show with Flashbang Wallop. So normally Flashbang Wallop with the original show, I think, was either at the end of Act 1 or the start of Act 2. And we kind of elongated the first act into it being a two-act piece. I didn't read the book H.G. Wells' The Story of a Simple Soul until after. Right. And when I did, I realized how kind of smart Lord Julian Fellowes was with how he kind of took different bits from the story and created them in different ways. It was very smart the way he did it. It was genius.
Mr. McIntosh said, the best new talent since Michael Crawford. I bet you were chuffed, weren't you?
I think he was trying to sell tickets, eh?
But... No, he wasn't.
No, yeah, he's supported me from day one. He really has, and I owe him so much, and I'm very lucky that he's going to be my boss in a few months' time, but a boss again. But he really took a chance on me, and I think that is in itself a rarity that someone of my caliber, which at the time really wasn't very, you know, I wasn't well known at all. I was just another man in the who was auditioning, who had very little CV, had no leading role history, and that in business, because that's what musical theatre is, and Sir Cameron McIntosh is a businessman, and to take that risk was incredible. So I was very proud when he came up to me and said that I did a good job. I tried to work very hard to show him how honoured I was that he took the risk.
You had a couple of cards from famous people, didn't you?
I did. I had a few. Yeah. Next door, we had Sir Ian McKellen doing No Man's Land at the theatre next door to the Noel Coward. And he, on more than one occasion, popped in to say hello. There was a lovely bridge between the two theatres, and his show would finish, and whilst he would wait for his car, he would go along the bridge and go up to the fly floor, which is above the theatre, which is where the flies, which we call the different pieces of set, fly up and fly down from. And he would watch the end number, Flash Bang Wallop, from the fly floor. So I used to call him Phantom, because he was Phantom of the Opera looking from above.
And Patrick Stewart as well.
And Patrick Stewart, yes. I didn't get to meet Sir Patrick Stewart, unfortunately, but I've heard wonderful things about him.
And of course you won an award, didn't you?
I did. I was very lucky. I won a Watson Stage Award for the show, and was nominated for an Olivier. And I felt very humbled to be given the awards, and more so actually I felt so humbled that I was put in a category with such incredible people, because I was very lucky. I'd seen most of the people that I was put up for the same awards for, and they were incredible, and to be put up on a pedestal with those guys was a real honor. It really was.
Put that light out.
I'm trying to relax and listen to John Hannum.
What was Bette Midler like? You were lucky.
I was. The best story I can tell you about Bette Midler is, whilst I was learning the show, I, what we call, shadowed the gentleman that was doing the show already. Taylor Trench played Barnaby Tucker, the character I played, before me. And he was doing the show with Bette, and I shadowed him, which is I followed him around the theatre to see where he went and how he did his changes and to watch that. And so I was side of stage, so I was in the wing watching Taylor perform, and I could feel a pair of eyes on me, and I looked over, and it was Bette Midler. And I had seen her once, and I hadn't introduced myself because I didn't want to interrupt her during the show, because different actors have different processes. I didn't want to interrupt her, and she kept looking at me, and I was getting really nervous, and I was thinking, do I say anything? I went, no, just watch, do your job, just watch. And I heard, hey, you, come over here. And I was like, oh, okay, goodness, because I'm really nervous. So, hello, Miss Midler. Nice to meet you. I'm Charlie. He said, what are you doing here? What are you doing? He said, oh, I'm shadowing Taylor. I'm going to be taking over Taylor. And she said, oh, well, swell to meet you, honey. And at the same time she said that, she burst on stage with a big smile and her arms in the air and with a standing ovation. And that was one moment I went, oh, that was pretty cool. But working with her was just as incredible. She's very smart. Mm. And she, as an actress, always wants to try new things. So the piece never kind of settled, which it has the potential to when you do a show constantly on a daily basis. And she was just so good. And she was so smart and so funny in the way she would always try things a different way. And she would come up to us and she'd go, what did you think of this bit? What did you think of this? She was always curious to see what other people thought. And that was really fun. And just as fun to work with Bernadette Peters, who I did the show for 9 months as well. She was exceptionally talented as well, and brought a real sincerity to the role that always left me speechless.
Obviously, that was Hello, Dolly on Broadway. Mm-hmm. the differences between London and Broadway, very much or not really?
There are quite a few differences. I think we have a word called stagey, and it's used in our industry for someone who knows everything about theatre and who works in the theatre, who lives and breathes it. And we use it in a way sometimes to tease, which I think is wrong, because knowing your craft is not wrong. But, you know, there's this coolness that a lot of people try to bring to musical theatre, that, you know, this is just my job, but I love it and I'm talented, you know. But people who really live and breathe it, and they don't have that word over there. And I think that's one way to kind of explain the Americans, is they live and breathe musical theatre. They knew everything about every show. They knew what theatre it was in. They knew everyone that was in the shows. And it's not even a case of they learn it because it's a business. They learn it because they have such a drive and such a passion, because there is such a fight over there. And it shows in their passion. But I would say that the talent is just as similar. The talent is the same, and everyone is just as talented. And the audiences are very different. They love to get involved over there, where we love to watch. Mm. We've paid, so we watch. They love to watch, but at the same time, they want to get involved. So the audiences are really rowdy. And, you know, I think it would be just the same actually in London if Bette Midler walked onto the stage. I'm pretty sure everyone would stand up. But yeah, it was really special. It really was.
You won an award over there too,
didn't you? I did, yes. I did. I was very lucky. I was awarded a Theatre World Award for, along with quite a few others, for our Broadway debuts, which was wonderful. I felt very honoured because I was the only one who wasn't the original cast for the role. So I had kind of gave Taylor Trench, who played the role before me, a call when I won the award and said, I think this is partly for you, so you can have it on weekdays. because as much as I couldn't hold my hands up and say I originated the role, a lot of it was up to Taylor. So yeah, it was very lovely to be given.
What I like about you is I've loved light entertainment since I was a kid, and I've interviewed lots of the great, sadly, Frankie Howard and all these sort of people, and Benny Hill and all the greats. You're also now, you've done a couple of pantos that are played in, which were really light entertainment, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely. I love panto. Panto is my favourite form of theatre. I grew up watching panto. We would only go to the theatre when I was a kid, when we went to the panto. It was a tradition that we always did, and it's a tradition that I will always do with my children. It is historically so important, and it shows that comedy that is like a lost art form, I think, in so many ways. Not even lost, because obviously it is in the panto, but it's only seen in pantomime. And for a long time, for the last 10 years, I think panto has been seen to be cheap, or panto has been seen. And what's incredible about the Palladium panto over the last 3 years, it's kind of fueled this love of pantomime, of what pantomime can be. And to be a part of that was incredible, because I would go every year as a kid, and to be a part of it is an honor, to be part of the best panto in the country, if you ask me.
Amazing stars too, they get, don't they?
Yeah, they do. So the first year I was with Elaine Page, Julian Clary, Nigel Havers, Gary Wilmot, Paul Zerdin. Oh, I did well there. And that was so much fun. Where we did Dick Whittington, I played it. And then the next year we had all of the same, but without Elaine, and we had Dawn French instead. And the lovely ballroom dancers,
Vincent and Flavia.
Thank you. That took me a second there. It's because their names go together, but then I was thinking,
young brains forget not.
Yes, I do. Who were just as delightful as well, and beautiful dancers. And so it was different. It was completely different, because Elaine brought this love of musical theatre that, you know, people would come to watch, and she would sing all of her, you know, incredible songs that she had sung from her career. And on top of that, she has this infectious laugh that is just so joyous. But at the same time, Dawn brought this comedy that I would always say to her, I'm astounded. I don't know how you did that. And she would just shrug, oh, it's nothing, it's nothing. But she's a genius. But so is Julian Clary just as much. He's just the kindest man. He's so genuine. He's so honest. And everyone It's quite funny because everyone goes to me, oh, you're working with that Julian Clary, expecting him to be this character that he plays on stage, where reality, nothing that's like what it is. He's a character. And when he's off stage, he has a capacity for listening and patience that is beautiful. It really is.
When I interviewed him, he wasn't in makeup or anything. And I just said, I could have walked by you in the street and not realised who you were. He said, that's what I like.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. I think that's what the makeup does for him as well. He puts it on and then he is the character.
Charlie, in a way, the Palladium is sort of a linking role for a young guy like you, isn't it?
Mm.
And when I watched the other night, the current play you're doing, Rough Crossing, the sort of waiter that you play, that's almost a linking role at times, isn't
it? Yeah, it is, yes. I'm very lucky. I always get to play the positive, happy, happy-go-lucky characters, in a way, which is always... I seem to have been typecasted, but I couldn't be happier about it. I think that light entertainment is just the best. And to leave a theatre knowing that you've made people smile is one of the best parts of my job.
In Rough Crossing, you're on an awful lot. And I think people look forward to when you come in the door.
Oh, thank you very much.
Because there's a drink you keep on about, don't you?
Yes, a cognac. Yes. I constantly have a cognac in my hand. And I constantly try to give it to Sandor Turai, played by the lovely John Partridge. And it always seems to end up going down my neck. So it's a great show. And this is my first play. And it's been great fun doing it because it's very different to how musical theatre is rehearsed. So yes. It's been great to do a play and especially do it with some really very talented people. Matthew Cottle, Rob Osler, Simon Dutton, Izzy Van Warwick, John Partridge. You know, most of them, bar me and Johnny, they went to RADA. And that's, you know, a very prestigious acting school. So I've so enjoyed being a part of this because I've been learning. Once again, I've been learning. I've been learning, seeing how Simon does the comedy timing that he does, that he's so good at. And at the same time, Matthew Cottle, who is just a genius with his comic timing, and Izzy's and Rob's sincerity to his character. And they bring a genius to it that I love. I really do.
You're at Bath this week.
I am.
Then you go to Malvern, Guildford, Yvonne Arnault, I love that theatre, Plymouth Theatre Royal, Norwich Theatre Royal, Leeds Grand and the Cambridge Arts.
Yes, we do. And then after Cambridge, we've added two more.
Have you?
Yes, we have. We are then in Nottingham and then in Sheffield.
Wonderful.
Which is delightful.
So, Mary Poppins.
Yes, Mary Poppins.
Chimney sweep, aren't you?
Yes, I am. It all started back in Sixpence. I wanted to do the role since I was a kid. My mother's broomstick, I used to put it up the chimney and break it. I get in trouble. And it was just a film that we watched constantly. It was one of the five movies that we would just had on repeat as a kid. And she would always say, oh, do the dance, do the Chick Chick Bang Bang dance, do the Mary Poppins dance, do the Jolly Holiday where I'd pull my trousers down and wobble like Bert does in the film. As one of the penguins. So I always wanted to do it. And then when we were doing Half a Sixpence, I know that Cameron has the rights for the show and was doing the show on tour and that he wanted to bring the show to West End at some point. And with no shame whatsoever, I must say, I just used to say to him, when are you going to put me as Bert in Mary Poppins? When is this going to happen? I want this to happen. And he used to say, well, you're too young. He said, normally Bert's 30, 32, early 30s, he'd say. And I said, well, we can fix that. You know, we can fix that. We'll work around it. We'll work around it. And he always used to roll his eyes at me. And then when I was in America, he kind of, I got a call from my agent who said, you know, they're seriously considering putting you in for Mary Poppins. How would you feel? I said, give it to me now. I was so excited. And then, yeah, when the deal was finally done and finally confirmed, it took a long time for us to work it out, to find a theatre. But, you know, oh, here we go. What's this?
This is your half-hour call.
Your half-hour
call. You're OK, first.
Yeah, oh, I'm fine. I'm fine, don't worry. I've got about another 5 minutes, which is great. And then I'll go get my hair done. But, yeah, so Mary Poppins ended up happening, and I've known about it for about 3 or 4 months now, so I'm very excited to start. And I know the lovely ZZ Stralen, who's going to be playing Mary.
She's sort of from a dynasty of actors.
She is, yes. Yeah. Her family have become the famous Stralens.
I think Bonnie Langford's in there somewhere.
And Bonnie Langford is their auntie, that's yeah. correct. Yeah, so I'm in good hands.
So you open later this year?
Yes, we do. We open in October. And I'm very at the Prince Edward Theatre, which is very exciting. And I can't wait. I haven't told my mum some of the secrets about the show. There are different things that happen in the show that are magic that I haven't told her happen. So she's going to be very surprised when she turns up.
During the tryout of the original, it was at Bristol for a while, and a group of us went down from the Isle of Wight because Laura Michelle Kelly grew up on mm-hmm. the Isle of Wight. And the day we went, the apparatus didn't work.
Oh, no.
So we had to cancel the show.
Oh, no. That's such a shame. But yeah. Live theatre, I guess that happens, doesn't it? Which is...
You've got to fly. Football-wise, you're a keen football fan, aren't you?
I am and I'm not. I love my football because my dad works in football. So,
come on, where does he work?
He works at Man City Football Club, which is very
they're
interesting.
They're all right, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They're doing all right. Well, they've now taken him to New York City because they own a football club called New York City in New York, and so he's working for them at the moment, having a great time in America. So whilst I was out there, he was there, which was lovely. So I had a family connection in New York, which was great. So I saw him every day, but I enjoy football because of my dad. It's something that me and my dad can connect with, and something that I've always enjoyed, that side of being able to go to a game and kind of just watch him more than anything and see how happy he is, I think.
Charlie Stemp, thank you so much for your time. It's been a real privilege to meet you, and I wish your career continued success.
Thank you very much.
I think some call you Charlie Stump, don't they?
Yes, they do, and Charlie Kemp. Charlie Stump, Charlie Kemp. I've had all the above. Comes with having a strange name, I think.
When you're a real megastar, I might come and sort you out again, is that
absolutely,
all right?
Happily so.
Thanks, Charlie, and good luck.
Thank you very much.
It's great. He's got a swell personality. He meets and greets the stars with such amenity. Good enough to make you coming out of the street. John Hannamy. That's right.
You've been listening to John Hannah Meets, courtesy of Isle of Wight Radio. Don't forget to look at my website, johnhannam.com, for news of more interviews and how you might purchase my books. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.